This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Bucknuts Happy Hour. I'm Patrick Murphy from Bucknuts and 247 Sports. We're off and running for another week of Bucknuts fun. I am out in Denver. We're staying at a friend's house. We have a wedding this weekend and there's no beer in the house. So I am sans beer, which is probably a good thing on an afternoon. We just got in last night. So I'm drinking water. We're at altitude. Staying hydrated, but I do miss my beer. It's been 2 weeks now since I've had a beer on this show, and that's a little disappointing. But today's show, we're going to talk about the potential breakout candidates for the Buckeyes this year, guys that we think might have big seasons that are kind of not necessarily unexpected, but guys who haven't maybe in the past. I'm going to do that here in the next few minutes. Then I'm going to dive into a little bit of recruiting, which I don't talk a ton about because it's not really my thing, but I know there's a lot of questions about Ohio State's defensive recruiting and kind of the direction of that. So I wanted to touch on some things there, and then we'll probably wrap up. I wrote something about the running backs the other day, kind of how Ohio State's going to handle what's a pretty loaded running back room, which I think is an interesting topic. But to discuss these breakout candidates, I didn't want to do that one by myself. So bringing back in Tim Hall from the Buckeye Show. Tim, it's been a minute since we've been able to make this work after you were a pretty routine guest on here. So I'm glad to have you back. How you doing?
It's good, Patrick. Yeah, and you know, you continue to pick the one guy that works in the evenings, and I cannot really enjoy a beer anytime we do this happy hour thing. I'm wondering if we could maybe move this to a Saturday type of deal. That way you're catching me on, you know, my free time, my leisure time. I might be two or three brews deep. You might not know what kind of comments you're going to get from me if we make that move.
I think if we do it on a Saturday, then we just do it together. Like we go somewhere, we get some beers, we'll set up, I don't know, some kind of, you can probably do that. You work in radio TV stations. So
why not? I think I smell a sponsor with this idea.
Yeah. Let's talk about this. I like
we get out to a microbrew for something like this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good with, you know me, I'll drink whatever. So we could go to, you know, we could go anywhere. We could sit in your backyard if you want to do that. But
we could do a little putting green happy hour.
I don't do that very often, so I'd be pretty terrible. But we could do
fine.
It. Get your
better
son
for me.
Involved. It could be a whole Tim Hall family experience.
I mean, I think that sounds great, man. I mean, right. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to talk about on the show afterwards. We are actually going to share this topic. So
yeah.
That will be fun. I'm going to bring Tyvus into this discussion. Tyvus Powell, everybody knows and loves so well, who joins me a lot for our show. So we'll do this later tonight. And it's interesting. The more topics like this, I generally like to just throw them in the brain for about 5 minutes, walk around the house, and then see what spits out. And originally, this came pretty easy to me. And then, like anything, the more you sit back and think about it, you're like, oh, yeah, there's this guy. Oh, who would qualify? Because I think the fun thing about a breakout player discussion, he might be a guy that's been on the team for quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a true freshman. We've got some true freshman phenoms that might fit for this discussion as well. But there could be some guys, especially I can think of on defense, that we've been talking about for a little bit. They've got some playing time. They got some starts under their belt. But have they really broken out? Have they had that true breakout season yet? There might be some guys sniffing around with first round projections that still might need their breakout season, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so that I think that's a nice tease into this. And for those of you watching this live, if you want to throw your thoughts on breakout candidates in the comment section, I'll read some of those as we go. But Tim, let's start this off. I did it kind of in a ranking order. I don't know how you listed them, but you go ahead and go first. Give us one of your guys who you think is going to, we're doing basically a top five, so to speak.
Yeah. So if I start out at the beginning, because I tried to put the guy that I thought was maybe the most fringe guy being in this, I could understand if you wanted to argue like, oh, no, I wouldn't really count him as a breakout watch guy. But in my mind, I do. And I think that guy is Cam Martinez for Ohio State. And I the reason why is because he came in here as a pretty highly touted recruit. It was a good win getting this guy down from Michigan. We weren't really sure how he was going to fit in position wise, where he was going to play for Ohio State. But I think as he's kind of progressed through these last 2 years, and certainly the spring that he's had, he seems to be pretty much steadily the guy, the starter at the nickel safety, the nickel corner, whatever you want to call that slot corner, slot safety position that the Buckeyes are going to run back there. And I just, you know, we've seen flashes from him in the past. We haven't really seen him have one of those Ronnie Hickman or Lathan Ransom type seasons. And I think he's everything that Ohio State football is about. I think Cam Martinez checks a lot of boxes. He's a guy that you can tell really, really wants to be here and is locked in and focused and committed into what this next season needs to be for him. And you look at the eligibility that he's got left too. I think he would have one more, correct, Pat, with dipping back into the super season year. I think academically he's a senior, but has one more year of eligibility. So I mean, I like it. The guy's athletic. The guy tackles well. I think he's a perfectly sane choice for breakout player. Cause you go back and, you know, aside the one interception, which was taken back 61 yards for a touchdown. He didn't have one last year, but he's gotten some more playing time. Snap count was up last year, and I think he could put up some numbers now.
I think that's a good one. I mean, he's going to have to – he was the first team guy in spring at that nickel position.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, they brought in Jihad Carter, who I think is going to be on the field now. I think they've realized that Jihad Carter can play some different roles. It's not just that position that he's set for, so – look, Cameron Martinez is interesting. He was a high school quarterback, dual threat, ran the ball a lot, didn't throw it a ton. Mm-hmm. And they just saw athleticism. And credit to our friend over at Rivals in the podcast, Jeremy Birmingham, who saw him play. And I don't know if people know this, but kind of brought him to the attention of Ohio State when he saw him play. You know, he was playing quarterback. He's like, I don't know what you do with this guy, but seems like too good of a
football
guy.
Player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
kind of, you mentioned he was a quarterback and a damn good quarterback and the Gatorade High School Football Player of the Year up north. And you mentioned that about Jihad Carter too, not to say that, you know, we wish him well. I think he was nicked up here in the spring. So him getting healthy is going to be huge. And of course I think he's going to get a snap count. You always need to focus on a two deep at the very least, sometimes a three deep. You never know with what can happen with injuries, but a lot of times we will kind of assume as fans when we bring in a transfer, especially someone who has put up some numbers for his previous team, and we might forget about the incumbents, the guys that have been in this program. But I would always say lean towards the guys that have been here, the guys that have been putting in that work and have those relationships built up with their teammates, and more importantly, their position coaches. So I think that's what you got here. It's not a knock on Jahad Carter. Guy made a move. It was a good move. Ohio State wanted him. He's been welcomed with open arms, and I hope he plays good football, but I just slide towards, like we're talking about, with Cam here for this one.
Yeah, I do think experience in the program certainly helps. The first guy I listed is kind of my biggest, I don't know if you call it a surprise, probably is going to be a surprise, but my biggest bold prediction, I guess. And I went with Hiro Kanu, the defensive tackle. Now, I felt better about this because I've been thinking about this for a while. I've been meaning to write this kind of story. I felt better about this before Ohio State brought in Taiwan Malone from the transfer portal. But if you look at the defensive tackle position, you've got Michael Hall Jr., you've got Ty Hamilton, and you've got Tyleek Williams, are kind of the three that we knew would be the defensive tackle rotation. And I thought, okay, Hiro Kanu's a guy who they really liked and was still pretty raw last year. And I talked to Hiro at the job fair, NIL fair, whatever they call it. You could just, in talking to him, he understood the game more than when he got here a year ago, or even when we talked to him, you know, when he was on visits in high school. So I think he's made a big step. Now, you bring in Taiwan Malone, a guy who played at Ole Miss in the SEC, and so maybe that bumps him kind of to the potentially the fifth guy. Jaden McKenzie's also in the mix there. But it wouldn't surprise me if Hiro Kanu sort of works his way into a bigger role than people expect, especially if they have an injury at defensive tackle somewhere. And we know that position tends to get nicked up. We saw it last year quite a bit, especially with Mike Hall Jr. So he's a guy I think that could be a kind of a surprising guy to break out and maybe not have a huge impact, but a bigger impact than people think, and work his way into something, especially going forward into the years to come.
There was a TV piece that I think it was NBC Sports did on him, on Hiro, and Pat, it must have been around one of the high school all-star games. I don't know which, correct me if I'm wrong, which one NBC has, if that's the Army or the Under Armour All-American, one of those. And they're talking to, you know, his family, his teammates, his coaches at his high school. And boy, you talk about what a character guy, first and foremost, Ohio State is getting with him. And the fact that he's an international and he comes from Germany makes this such an interesting dynamic. And he might be on the three deep right now. I might call him a great dark horse guy. I might even go like with the guy that might start in Ty Hamilton for a breakout watch, because we know he's going to be a starter and he's going to play. And everybody's talking about Mike Hall, maybe Ty Hamilton, local product, puts in a big year. But I love Hiro. And he, again, great teammate, great kid, interesting dynamic. This might be a college football game day piece or something on the program that he comes from, that PPI recruits, the international recruiting program, which has been designed to shed some light on European kids who have a great interest in playing American football. Really interesting. I think he probably lived with a host family or something like that when he came over, but he hadn't been playing the game for all that long. And you talk about the size, speed, athleticism. It's a wonder this has worked out. Maybe rugby would have been the thing, more so than your football that you like, Pat, being a Red Devils guy. But yeah, he's an interesting dude, and I'm all aboard the Hiro Kanu train. Is that how you say it? Kanu?
Yeah, Kanu, Kanu. I've heard it said both ways. He has an accent, so I don't know how he pronounces it, actually. But you mentioned PPI. They were just at one of Ohio State's camps a week or so ago. Really cool program. If you haven't checked them out, Google that group. I've written about them. Bill Kerlick's written about them. I know other sites have written about them as well. Really cool that how they run that and bringing guys over to the U.S. to get a chance to be seen by college teams, that they end up on college rosters, getting scholarships, getting educations, and guys have gone on to the NFL. So pretty cool thing. You mentioned Ty Hamilton. I did consider him. I wanted to go more bold with one, and so that's why I went that way. I do think Ty Hamilton, if you follow the career trajectory of his brother, Devon Hamilton, this is right about the time that he started to break out. And I know, you know, they're different guys, but this could be, you know, if he follows that path, it could be a guy that has a pretty big season. All right, who you got next, Tim?
Let me throw 4 and 3 at you for time's sake. So okay. I'll hit you with a 2-pack for a couple of the guys in the middle here. I'm going to go to the offensive line, and I'm going to say Josh Fryer. I feel like I have to pick our guy that's going to take over at left tackle. So the work that he's been putting in behind the scenes, it is time to show everybody what that's about. When you got all these guys leaving for the NFL draft, you can't have a football team if you can't trust your offensive line. So it's not even just going to be Josh Fryer. You're looking at Carson Hinsman. You're looking at possibly Josh Simmons. But if I'm going to pick the guy that maybe we buy the most stock in, sure, it's that left tackle. It is a vital, vital piece of your offense that doesn't get the credit that it deserves. So Josh, I'm going to throw at number 4 there. And then number 3, I'll go back to a younger guy and go back to the other side of the ball. But I think it's one of these situations we've talked about moving him around a little bit on defense and where he's going to fit in. I know Jim Knowles recently kind of updated which safety spot they see him fitting in at, but that would be Sonny Styles. You talk about another Pickerington kid, right? This guy is just got the size, got the speed. He hits like a freight train, but again, versatility might be something that is what he builds his career on, you know, despite where we think he could be a box safety and hit. But we think that they trust his cover skills out there as well, especially if you're going to line him up on a tight end or one of the bigger pass catchers that an opposing offense has, especially you talk about some of these SEC offenses that have tight ends for days, especially a team like Georgia. Sonny Styles could be a pretty good Georgia beater. You know, I just like him. I don't think there's a way that he gets kept off the football field in 2023.
Yeah, Styles is a guy. I mean, you mentioned Georgia. He was supposed to be a big part of that plan in the playoff. Yeah. And the tight end he was covering, I can't remember his name off the top of my head there, got hurt early on. And so Darnell Washington, was that who it was?
I think so, yeah.
And so he didn't. Actually, since you went to there, I will too, because Styles was my number one guy. And you kind of covered why. Look, I think he's too good to not be on the field. And I don't know where he plays. I don't know what they do. It's not my job to know that. But I can't imagine this defense without Sonny Styles playing a significantly bigger role this year. So I agree with everything you said on him. Another guy I had, kind of the second guy in the defensive line too. I'm going with Caden Curry. And I debated quite a bit between him and Kenyatta Jackson, because I do think both of those guys are going to play quite a bit in that rotation that Larry Johnson has. And Kenyatta Jackson probably had the better spring. But I remembered back when Zach Harrison was talking at the NFL Combine. And here's a quote real quick. "You've seen all of the JTs and the Jacks play, but one guy I'm excited about is Caden Curry. He's a freshman." He's a freshman last year. "He's going to be a really good player. Just the way he moves and his motor never stops. I'm excited to see what he does." Really just everybody. But he's a guy that stands out to me as a really good player. If Zach Harrison... Now, Zach Harrison maybe didn't live up to the billing at Ohio State, but if he's saying that about a kid he practiced with every single day, that stuck in here. And I think I think what we saw from Curry early in the season, now that he's been in the program a full year, I think can be more what you see on the field. I like Kenyatta Jackson a lot. I like the two starters in JT and Jack, as Zach mentioned there. But I think you could see big things out of Caden Curry this year, rushing the passer, kind of in that rotation with those other three.
Back to Sonny, because while you were talking there, I looked up the recent comments from Jim Knowles.
Yeah,
I think he made this near the end of spring ball, or might have been at that media availability they had when spring ball was done. And it surprised some people, because, again, I talked with Tyvus about this, and you know how much he, you know, studies the safety positions and how much he cares about this. It was kind of a shocker to him when he read that they were starting to lock Sonny Styles more in at the high safety position. It's like, wait, what? Like, this guy, when you saw him, and again, it's only been a small amount of film. And I think that's what goes to show you, just because a guy might have that height and that weight doesn't mean that he can't, you know, play back there and play center field and use ball skills and pick off the football. Again, if he can do that, if that's what you've been learning about this dude and seeing in practice, then by all means, I will trust you. And, you know, versatility, again, that's the thing that Jim Knowles said. He said, I learned that he can handle a lot, and he's more adept at playing in a high safety position than you would think for a bigger guy. And he went on to say how, yeah, most of the time last year we had him at the line of scrimmage or close to the line of scrimmage. So we've come up with a dual plan for him where he'll be able to compete at a high safety position because I think we're going to need him there. So that's very interesting. And then I agree with everything you said about Caden. I think Caden Curry is absolutely a dude, and it's why you feel good. You sleep well at night when you think about the depth that they have at defensive end. Again, with I think you could – I don't have him on my list here because I think he's just kind of too big-time of a player, but you can make an argument that Jack Sawyer is a breakout player who's a bona fide starter and could possibly play his way into being a first-round pick, a top 20 pick in the NFL draft, could be a breakout player as well because – you looked at Jack Sawyer and you just thought numbers. I mean, big, big numbers from a guy like that. But Caden can be a big numbers guy too when that's his job, which is why I go, if I go into my second, my number two, before we get to the top of the list, I have the guy on the other side. I've got Kenyatta Jackson. So it's tough. I put him back to back. I just feel that Kenyatta Jackson is – could possibly be the more high level game record type of athlete. And again, you know, having bookends right there, the more the merrier. But I think with how Larry Johnson speaks about Kenyatta Jackson and what this guy can give and how ready he is for the moment, that's why I put him up here. I can see him even without an injury to, you know, Tui Moloau or Sawyer, he gets in the rotation and might wind up with, you know, 5 sacks by the time the season is done.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that we're talking about multiple defensive ends and not just the top two or three, because they just didn't have enough in that position last year. And Kenyatta Jackson looked really good in the spring, really good in the spring. So I think it bodes well that both you and I identified one of those guys, because I think they both have the chance to really be good. The next guy on my list is, you talked at the beginning, guy who's been in the program a lot, hasn't played a ton because of injuries and whatnot, but Mitchell Melton. And so he is a guy, if they want to use that jack position, I think he is the perfect fit. When Jim Knowles talks about a guy that, you know, okay, that he's had at other places where, okay, he's a good football player. We kind of talked about this with Cam Martinez. He's a good football player, but he doesn't necessarily, you know, maybe he's a running back in high school, played defensive end or played linebacker. It doesn't really fit that at the college level. And I'm not saying Mitchell Melton can't play at a specific position, linebacker, defensive end, whatever. But I think that hybrid role is perfect for him. Now, how much do the Buckeyes need to use that? I've talked about this before. I don't know if you need to use that hybrid jack position as much as Jim Knowles has used it at other places when you recruit the way Ohio State does. But I remember talking to people in spring of last year, of 2022, and they were really excited about what he could do. And then tears his ACL in the spring game, misses all of last season. So if he can come back healthy, I think that gives you just another kind of versatile weapon that they're going to want to get on the field. CJ Hicks is also in the mix for that position, but I think you can do some other things with CJ Hicks and let Mitchell Melton kind of make that role his own. So we'll see how much he does it, but I think if he can live up to what they were saying two springs ago, he could be a really good player.
Mitchell Melton's kind of been a forgotten man, you know,
with
just the injury you mentioned. Where are we at with his health right now?
He's supposed to be good. The latest update was that he was good. They held him out of spring just to kind of keep things. If I remember
which
correctly.
Was a concern. I mean, for a guy that's not played, Pat, that's an ongoing concern, just the lack of football.
For sure.
Missing valuable reps. For a guy that needs to, I mean, you talk about a breakout. I just want to see the guy play.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see what he can do.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, the signs were that he was healthy. I believe he was doing some stuff off to the side in the spring. I think they just wanted to give him a little bit more time. They did the same with Evan Pryor, who was hurt a little bit later, but
there's a guy too.
Yeah. They're just cautious. All right. Who do you have as your top guy?
CJ Hicks, what about you?
Yeah, Styles,
Sonny, right?
Yeah, Styles was my top guy, and I thought about CJ Hicks a lot. I'm still just unsure where he fits right now. Like, he's really good, and he's going to be on the field. Do you take Steel Chambers off more and put him in? I think that's a possibility. Does he play the jack? I don't know. So that was the reason I didn't. It's not to say that I don't think he's going to be very good, and I do think he's going to play. I'm just kind of waiting to see where that is personally. But what about you? What makes you think he's going to break out?
No, I understand that. I just think you're dealing with another player like Sonny Styles, who just has so much talent and so much ability. It's not going to be a good thing to keep him waiting for so long. I don't know. I don't feel like this guy is a risk to transfer, but I also think he's so talented that if he doesn't see the field enough, maybe he gets to thinking again. I'm not trying to put that out there for anyone, because I'm not him. And he definitely does seem like a Captain Buckeye type of dude with the way that he was recruiting. But we live in the real world. It's 2023, right? I think, like you said, it could be situations where, you know, one of the defensive ends comes off, right? And he might get some snaps. Steel Chambers and Tommy Eichenberg, as much as we love these guys, they're not going to play every single snap. Tommy might, but yeah, you said it. Steel could be a guy. He comes in and spells a little bit. As long as you're keeping guys fresh, when you get into the third and fourth quarter and you're in these grind them out football games, you're gonna need at least that second spot on the depth chart to come in and give valuable snaps. I don't care who you are, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, those backups, they're very, very important. And a lot of times when it's all said and done, you might not consider some of these guys to be backups. It's just that there are only 11 positions on the football field to start. But I just think he's too good, Pat. I think he was a heralded recruit. I think he's part of getting Ohio State back to having that reputation. Even the game has changed. So I'm not saying like we're going to get back to AJ Hawks and James Laurinaitis's, because I just think the way the linebacker position is in today's football with the offenses you go up against, it might not ever be like that. But he's this athletic guy that can tackle, that can play in space, that can clog gaps and blow up plays. I'm just excited to see him.
Yeah, I agree. And Jim Knowles said he was ready to unleash, was the word he used when we talked to him last, talking about CJ Hicks. And he said it's his job to find a way to get him on the field. That's what they're working on. How you figure it out, that's yet to be determined. But so Styles was my top guy. The other guy I had, Carson Hinsman. If he is ready to go, and he was basically the first team center throughout spring, and that was with Victor Cutler, but without Jacob James back in there, I think you can have something like you just had with Luke Whipler, where you get at least 2 years of this guy playing with the center. Maybe he's with the same quarterback for that whole time too, like Whipler was with CJ Stroud. He was one of the guys that of those three offensive line positions that are open, every time we saw him, you know, I'm not an offensive line expert, but I kind of looked at it and was like, I don't see mistakes here. I'm sure there were some, but to me, he looked pretty solid in the spring. And I think right now, though they haven't named him a starter, it's kind of his position to lose at center. And that's such a key position. If you can get a young guy who's heady and can handle what it requires to be a center, like Luke Whipler did a couple of years ago, I think that only benefits you, not just this year, but even next year too. So that's our list. You had Martinez, Fryer, Styles, Jackson, and Hicks. I had Hirokanu, Curry, Melton, Hinsman, and Styles. So I like all those guys. I think there's a good chance we hit on at least a few of those.
I know you're
gonna go here quick, but I wanted to get your quick thoughts on Bryce Sensabaugh and the Utah Jazz and just kind of the draft pick.
Yeah, two quick thoughts on Buckeye hoops with Bryce first. You know, I spent some time, I graduated high school in Utah. So, you know, I worked at some wonderful golf courses out there in northern Utah. It's a beautiful place. If anybody ever has plans to go out and visit, I couldn't recommend it enough. Like fly to Salt Lake City, check out Park City, Deer Valley, some of those ski resort towns, Alta. And I really had a good time going to Jazz games when I lived there, going with my dad. And, you know, it was Weber State basketball and it was Jazz basketball for me for a couple years. I got to see Michael Jordan play. It was his last 2 years in the league. He was a wizard, and it was nuts the way the arena would fill up with Jordan jerseys. But again, not the point. I'm happy for Bryce
out there.
Say that again, Pat.
Even though they hated Michael out there.
Oh yeah, it was crazy, man. All the beautiful blonde people in Utah, they'd wear their Jordan Wizards jerseys and it'd fill up the Delta Center, what it was called back then. You still had, I caught the tail end of Stockton and Malone when I was there. It was so cool. And then the eras and hoops shifted. But I love seeing Bryce go to a team that I've got a connection to. I think that's cool. And I was talking with DeVere about this, DeVere Posey, on our show the other day. I kind of can see some similarities to Donovan Mitchell, just in what, you know, where they played, him being a Louisville guy. And, you know, he wasn't one of those top five, top 10 picks in the draft, but just the style that they play, the athleticism, the offensive prowess, they're both kind of medium bodied, you know, either two guards to small forward type of players. I mean, Mitchell more of a guard, you know, but you know what I'm saying? Guys that can really fill it up, guys that have hops too. And we've seen Bryce, who you might not have thought was more known for his hops, but then when he threw down maybe the nastiest dunk in the Big Ten this past season, you start to realize that. I think it's a nice spot. He went right about where I had him pegged to go in that 23 to 30 spot in the first round. So I think that's a solid pick for the Jazz as they kind of have their rebuild ongoing. And how cool is this that Ohio State basketball is going to play an exhibition game at UD Arena? So we've been clamoring for some kind of battle for Ohio. We've been trying to figure things out. Either the universities can't get in gear for it, or the crosstown shootout in Cincinnati with the every year matchup for Xavier in Cincinnati makes it tough to do. But we've seen some matchups with Cincy. We've seen a matchup with Xavier in the Gavitt games, but just a one-off. Now you get an exhibition game on the road in Dayton. Again, I think it's cool, so it doesn't count, but bragging rights will still be on the line. It's for a cool cause. It's for mental health awareness, and it'll be October 22nd coming up leading into 2023. And I think this might replace the secret scrimmage. And if that's the case, this is college basketball getting smarter, because why have these, you know, big on big secret scrimmages that no one can go to? Sell some tickets for it. Make some money, open it up, give your program some exposure. It's football season, so, you know, attention spans will still be on that. But for the diehard college hoops fans, and if you could create some cool matchups, like this is one we haven't been able to see. They just haven't done it. It's either you get it in the NCAA tournament or you get no Ohio State Dayton. So anyway, Pat, I think that's a cool thing that we saw. We'll talk about this a little bit on our show as well. I want to say one of the Buckeyes I would nominate for Buckeye of the Month with what he's doing down in Cincinnati, Drew Chrisman, our punter.
Yeah,
man, like what he's been doing, like riding around on his bike, delivering meals to the homeless. Really cool guy. Everything he's doing. He's going to come on the show tonight at 6:20. Nice. Talk about what he's been up to. So people can look forward to that on the Buckeye show tonight.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I think that the event's going to be pretty cool. You know, I do think doing that for a good cause in front of fans will be fun. You get a chance to see both teams before the season tips off. Should be a good time. The day after the Penn State game. So
Big
weekend there. Big weekend. All right, Tim, thanks a bunch. I've missed having you on, so I'm glad to get you back in the rotation here. We'll work on this weekend happy hour thing, or maybe we'll just bump you up in the show on the show list at the Fan, get you on one of those earlier shows regular so that you can.
Oh, wow. Who are you pulling the plug on? Beam?
Yeah, we'll kick Beam out.
Yeah.
It's up early.
Okay. See you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Tim. All right. That was Timmy Hall from 97.1 The Fan. Always love having Timmy on. Glad he was able to do that today. As he said, sometimes it gets a little complicated with his schedule and my schedule. I'm trying to do this when people can watch it. If you missed our predictions for potential breakout Buckeyes, you can watch this again back on YouTube or listen to the podcast version wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm going to do something I don't do very often on this show just because it's not something I cover extensively. But I'm going to dive into a little recruiting. I want to talk, because I know it's been a big topic, Ohio State defensive recruiting. And what kind of got my brain flowing in this direction was, and I assume you guys all know this if you follow along with recruiting. Actually, real quick, there are a couple comments I wanted to hit on from the top fives here. And then we'll get back into the recruiting. Chris Glover said, Mike Hall is going to be a breakout player of the year with on defense with JTT and Burke having the most upside draft-wise. Should be a huge year for Mike Hall. I thought about him. I think he had a good year last year if you take into account the injuries, but I think that's a good prediction. Chad Stryker, Hero hadn't played a lot of football when he came in, so I think that he's a project, but he can play his way in the rotation in 2024. I agree with that. He was definitely a project. And then while we're on the topic of Hero, who's one of my guys, Where Goes One said, Hero is a block of clay. He will be molded into a beast. I think that's exactly what Larry Johnson thought. Andy Bays, I think that's how he said. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Sonny Hicks and CJ Styles. I think those are the two most obvious. I had Sonny on my list. Tim did too. He also had CJ Hicks. Andy Bays also said they're going to let Jack Sawyer loose. He's going to be a beast. I think he could have a very good year. We just kind of already knew about him, even though he didn't have a great season. You know, he's tied for team lead in sacks last year. Chad Stryker, what about Amori Abor? He looked ready. Yeah, honestly, we haven't seen a ton of him. I just don't know kind of where he's going to fit into things at this point. He's a guy who I know they really like, but it's going to be interesting to see kind of where he fits in. We talked about Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson. You know, you can only rotate so many guys in there. So what's the fit? Anyway, let's get back to recruiting, talking about the defensive side. As I was saying, what kind of got me on this thought process, so to speak, talking about defensive recruiting was the commitment of Bryce West to Ohio State, which happened kind of as a double Glenville commitment weekend last week, actually a double Glenville commitment Saturday, when Bryce West officially announced, though we all know if you pay attention on social media, he committed on Friday night. The video kind of got out there. But he committed, and then Damarian Witten, his tight end at Cleveland Glenville, also committed on Saturday. So I was looking at the Ohio State 2024 class, and it's ranked number 2 in the country. But if you look through the list, Bryce West is the, according to our rankings, the 4th best player, the cornerback out of Glenville. And then you got to scroll down a little bit to find Garrett Stover, the next defensive player, linebacker from Big Walnut. You know that last name because of what Cade's done. Peyton Pierce, another 4-star linebacker from Texas. And then recently, Jaden McClain committed, safety out of New Jersey. But that's it for the Buckeyes 2024 defensive recruiting right now. And I know there's been some concern because Ohio State has recruited on the offensive side of the ball so well over the years. But I do think there's a shift, and I think you're starting to see that take place. Bryce West was a guy they had to get. He's an Ohio guy. He's a highly ranked cornerback, a talented player, a guy that you just can't let get out of your state or end up elsewhere. Michigan was a place he was considering. You certainly don't want to see him go there. So that's a win for the Buckeyes. Now you've got to keep that momentum going on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that is going to happen. I think you are going to see a number of defensive guys begin to commit here as we go through the summer and maybe into the fall. And you know, I think it's important to note that there's often the situation where the commitment is done with Ohio State, but guys want to wait to announce things. And we're not in the business of spoiling those type of things. I'm not saying that has necessarily happened, but there's a lot of good vibes coming out of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, from my understanding, about a lot of these guys. June was a big month, got a lot of guys on campus, and I jotted down some names of guys that Ohio State is heavily involved in and would certainly take at the linebacker position. Kingston, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Vialamu Asa. I probably got that wrong. I should ask Bill Kerlick how to pronounce that beforehand. Edwin Spillman, two highly rated guys that they are involved in. Cornerbacks, Aaron Scott. That's another one like Bryce West. Can't let that kid get out of the state. Michigan is involved. He just took a visit to Oregon. He was on the visit with Bryce West. They've kind of been going back and forth on social media. That's a must get for Ohio State. You get two of the top cornerbacks, not only in the state, but two really of the top cornerbacks in the country in this class. So Ohio State still working on Aaron Scott, but by all accounts had a really good visit when he was here last weekend. Miles Lockhart, a guy who listed in our database as a running back, but Ohio State is recruiting him as a cornerback, kind of that slot nickel cornerback from my understanding. And he's a guy that they are really pushing for. Then Kobe Black, five-star corner, that would be a guy that obviously Ohio State is interested, very interested. They have probably some more work to do than maybe some of those other guys in terms of landing him. But you could land a five-star corner. That certainly speeds up the trajectory there. Kobe Black, for people I've talked to, is elite at that level. So moving to the defensive line, Edric Houston, that's a guy that I know Bill Kerlick's written a lot about on Bucknuts. A guy that I think most people would say Ohio State feels pretty good about. You know, it's never over till it's over in recruiting, but a guy that they certainly like, certainly been pushing for. Dylan Stewart, defensive lineman, similar boat. Marquise Lightfoot, both guys they would take in a heartbeat. I think would help continue this defensive line that, you know, as we're talking about breakout guys, we named two guys. You know, you have two five-star guys in JT Tumlao, Jack Sawyer. Look, I'm going to be honest. The defensive line play has been underwhelming, and we could have a whole podcast about maybe why that is. And I don't want to go into that, but continuing to land good players, really good players, is going to be key to getting that back to where it was. You know, Ohio State was in a really fortunate situation for a handful of years with the Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young. And not just them. I mean, there were other key guys on each of those offensive lines that played a part. And they need to get back to that. And you know, you need to get pressure on the quarterback at a higher rate than you did a year ago. And so continuing to land top guys at that position is crucial. And that safety, KJ Bolden and Jordan Johnson Rubel. I believe if I read this correctly when I was looking before, Johnson Rubel is announcing this weekend. I think the Crystal Balls on 247 Sports, and I will pull him up here as we talk. I believe that they are leaning towards him headed to Texas, which is where I believe he's from. Yeah, if I look, six crystal ball predictions, 100% to Texas. Now, they're all medium, so it's not a high probability for according to these guys. But he, I believe, is announcing Saturday, so we'll learn more about that. KJ Bolden, a five-star guy that really everyone in the country would love to have on their roster. You look at this group that I have jotted down here, and I'm probably forgetting some guys. I just kind of did some quick looking through there, through the database and whatnot, and guys Ohio State are targeting, guys I know that they are very interested in. There's certainly others out there, but you know, landing a handful of these guys over the course of the next few months would be huge for this class. You need to be more balanced, and Ohio State needs to be more balanced as a team on Saturdays in the fall. And it starts with this. And I think when Ryan Day took over, not that there wasn't an emphasis on recruiting defensive players. He understands how important the defensive side of the ball is, despite being an offensive guy. But maybe it was because of having such an offensive-minded head coach. I'm sure there's a lot of different reasons in terms of the coaches that were on staff. But this certainly has fallen off. And we can talk about scheme. We can talk about coaching. You can talk about Jim Knowles' play calls, all that stuff. If you don't have the players, and I mean the players across the entire defense, then you are not going to be able – you can compete in the Big Ten. You can continue to do what Ohio State was doing and you know, winning Big Ten titles in 2020, winning a Big Ten title in 2020, going to the college football playoff, but – you know, you saw what happened against Alabama in 2020. And I know there were some other reasons, the COVID stuff and whatnot, but that defense was not good enough. And then obviously in 2021, you lose to Michigan and things start to go downhill. And then last year, things are going well. But I think, you know, again, say what you will about Jim Knowles' play calls and kind of the coaching all around, but you're going up against a Georgia team. You looked at the guys they had on their defense, the guys they had on their bench defensively. It's just, it wasn't the same level. And Ohio State hung in that game. But if Ohio State, with the way their offense was playing, if you had some of the guys that at the level of the guys that I just mentioned, and they'd been coached up and schemed right, you know, it all goes together, right? And so the defensive recruiting has to get back to the level. It used to be similar to the level of the offense. I do think they're moving in the right direction. I think that they have put a significant emphasis on that. I think guys like Tim Walton and Perry Eliano now being in their second year in the program helps. People have seen kind of what they can do at Ohio State. It's one thing to say, you know, if you're Tim Walton, I did this in the NFL, or if you're Perry Eliano, I did this at Cincinnati. And look, guys bring up, I was talking to guys throughout June at camps, and you know, the fact that Perry Eliano coached Sauce Gardner and the other corner from Cincinnati, I'll think of it, Kobe something. The fact that he coached two guys that were drafted high in the NFL certainly plays a part, but they want to see it see Ohio State do it, see those players do it at Ohio State under these coaches. Now you have a year in, you've seen it a little bit. So I think that helps. And then the other guy that I think helps a lot is having James Laurinaitis in there. And now he's a GA, so he cannot go on the road recruiting, but he can make phone calls and he can talk to kids when they're on campus. And month of June, a lot of kids came through the Woody and were at camps or visited, did official visits. And look, if you've ever talked with James Laurinaitis, and I said this when he was hired, I think the coaching side of it is great. I think he's going to do really well there. But you want a guy to sell Ohio State, and he was doing it really well at Notre Dame, a place that he wasn't as familiar with last year. Do you want a guy to sell Ohio State, a guy that cares about Ohio State, and, you know, a guy that can relate to some of these guys that are recruiting out of state as like, look, I wasn't he didn't grow up in Ohio. You know, he came here, he developed, all that. I don't think there's anyone better than James Laurinaitis. There may be guys on par with what they can sell. And I think once he is able, whether he moves into a full-time position or they change the rules and they allow more full-time coaches, once he's able to get on the road recruiting, I think you're in a really good spot. And I think you're seeing the benefits of that. All of those things kind of coming together. And I think over the course of the next few months, Buckeye fans are going to be pretty happy with the way defensive recruiting is going. I'll just leave it at that. Now I'm going to shift back over to something I know a little bit more about in terms of what I cover on a day-to-day basis. And that is back to the team and the running backs. And I wrote about this the other day, and I've written about it a couple times in various ways throughout the offseason, but Ohio State's running back room is going to be one of the more interesting things, I think, to watch with this team. And maybe one of the more interesting things in college football this year, because you know the names. You've got Travion Henderson. You've got Mayan Williams, the guys who were supposed to be kind of the co-starters last year. You have Evan Pryor, who is going to be in that mix with them, is what we heard a lot about during fall camp last year, until he suffered a knee injury and had to miss the entire season and was still out in spring as he kind of comes back, though he's supposed to be full go by the time fall camp starts. Because of that, Dallin Hayden played a lot more than I think anyone expected. Than Dallin Hayden probably expected. Then you had Chip Traynham, who was a running back at Arizona State, wanted to play running back, transfers to Ohio State last offseason because he realized, okay, my future may be at linebacker, which is what Ohio State recruited him to play coming out of high school when he was from the state of Ohio. Realized, okay, that's where my future probably lies, starts the season there, and then because of those injuries, Travion Henderson, Mayan Williams, moves back to running back kind of in an emergency capacity to give some depth at that position and played well in limited time and now is going to stay in the running back room. So unless I counted wrong there, that's five running backs that I think you could argue would start at most places or at least play significantly in most places around the country. We know Travion Henderson would. Mayan Williams would start in a lot of places. Evan Pryor, based on what we know about Evan Pryor, we haven't seen a lot. He's only played four games. But the way he, you know, as a recruit coming out of high school, and if he develops the way we expect, I think he's a guy who by his third year probably would have been on the field a lot, given health at other places. Dallin Hayden, there were certainly teams interested in him if he were going to hit the transfer portal this offseason. He was Ohio State's third leading rusher last year, despite playing, you know, not significantly less snaps than kind of the other two combined. And then Chip Traynham, he's played. He played Arizona State. He played in the Pac-12. So, you know, you kind of know that he would be able to play at other places. So how do you handle the situation? And Tony Alford gets these questions a lot. He got it before last season, but – and he always kind of says things – you know, these type of things tend to work themselves out, right? Now, you hope it's not their injury like it was last year, but now you're coming in with five guys who have a right to lay claim to needing some carries. And obviously you have to earn it every day. You can't just say, well, I did it last year if you're Dallin Hayden, for example, or – you know, Evan Pryor was going to have a role last year. Why should I not? You know, you've got to earn it each day in practice. And that's going to be a key component, too, of who emerges. But how you keep kind of these guys all happy is going to be very interesting. And I wrote with I wrote the other day, like I was saying. And look, Tony Alford is not backing away from this kind of challenge, so to speak. He said, I think the more the merrier, right? I mean, it's like a kid at Christmas. The more presents you got, the better, right? It is what it is. We needed every bit of depth that we could have last year. Hopefully that doesn't repeat itself, but it's always good to have depth, and competition makes everybody rise. So I think it's a good situation to be in. So yes, I agree with him 100% there. When everyone is back on the field going into fall camp, the competition is going to be pretty ridiculous at Ohio State over at the Woody. Now, how do you work that once the season starts? Alford said, I'm absolutely going to do what's best for the team, but at the same time, we've got to do what's best for the players too. The challenge is just to get better every day for everybody. So my read on this is, well, first of all, I think it will depend on how things turn out in fall camp, obviously. There are some ways, I think, in terms of different roles that you can use these guys. The most obvious being Evan Pryor, as kind of a sort of what we saw from Xavier Johnson in the Georgia game, lining up in the backfield, running routes out of the backfield, motioning in and out of the backfield. You saw a little bit of that with Jackson Smith and Jigba in the Rose Bowl before he, you know, obviously suffered the injury in the Notre Dame game, the Rose Bowl 2 years ago. I think he's a guy who you can kind of put in some different situations. But he also still has to be able to run the ball between the tackles, because if the defense knows, okay, he's coming on the field, that means they're going to run him out there. It just gives away too much. So he's got to be able to do both. You know, with Trayvon Henderson and Mayan Williams, kind of how that dynamic worked when both were healthy last year for the first few games of the season. I really liked that. I think that's your starting two. I think you roll with what got you there last year, so to speak, in terms of heading into the season, what you saw, what you liked. Dallin Hayden, that's where I think things get really interesting, because I think he's really talented. I really do. I think most people would agree. What you saw from him as a freshman, kind of getting thrust into that type of role early on, the Maryland game is the most obvious example. But even in the Georgia game, playing against that Georgia defense, he still had some good plays that, you know, I like what he can do. He's more of your stereotypical running back. So how does he fit will be a good question, because Mayan Williams and Trayvon Henderson can kind of do those things. Do you just rotate more between those three? And then with Chip Traynham, he's a burner. Maybe the fastest guy on the team. There was talk about that last year. Very strong, you know, beefed up a little bit when he was going to linebacker. So I think he's a guy that you can run some different plays with, get him to the outside, similar to what you've been able to do with Trayvon Henderson, because he obviously has that quickness and ability to hit the home run play. If I had to guess on what this kind of snap count situation is going to be, I would think that you end up, you know, end of the year, assuming all five of these guys stay healthy, I think you end up with Treyvon Henderson, Mayan Williams having probably significantly, maybe not significantly more, but definitely more snaps between the two of them than the other three. I think you still have to find a way to get down Hayden on the field. And I think Evan Pryor is a guy who can do some different things. Like I said, to me, Chip Traynham maybe is the odd man out. Maybe Dallin Hayden, you know, takes a little bit of a lesser role, knowing that in a year, if things go right, Mayan Williams is gone, Treyvon Henderson could leave early for the NFL. Then you're in a different situation with, okay, Dallin Hayden with experience, Evan Pryor with experience. Then I think, you know, you recognize that the potential is out there. But yeah, I think it's going to be very tricky for Tony Alford. I think it's just, it's tough to have that many running backs, that many good running backs. It'd be one thing if they were all kind of solid, but we know what Treyvon Henderson is when he's healthy. He just wasn't healthy last year. You saw what Mayan Williams can do. And I think he's surprised a lot of people with some of the stuff he's done at Ohio State, given kind of where he came from recruiting wise. Those guys are really talented. I mean, like I said, they start almost anywhere in the country. So you can't take them off the field too much, in my mind. Tony Alford gets paid the big bucks to do this. So I think that, you know, you've got to trust in him to get it right. He's had to deal with somewhat similar situations before, not necessarily the five deep running backs, but we've seen it with J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber. He's had other situations. So, you know, I will certainly be paying close attention to how it's shaping up in fall camp and then what it looks like each week in the season and how, especially early on, how they kind of break down snaps, what situations guys are in, things like that. Because, look, you have a brand-new starting quarterback. You have a questionable offensive line, but an offensive line that you would expect would be able to run block. I think that you can lean on that running game quite a bit early on. And, you know, it's just a matter of who fits in where and whatnot. So that's kind of my read on the running back situation. There's a lot of questions about it. Certainly. I saw a few comments come in. I want to make sure we get to these because I like that you guys comment on these things. So let me grab a couple here. Going back to the recruiting, Robert Seelstad, I think I pronounced that right. Musk gets Lightfoot, Stewart, Houston after last year's 0-for-3. Those are the defensive linemen. Look, I said it. You've got to, those three are all defensive linemen. Just wanted to double check my notes there. Look, you've got to keep adding talent to that position. No doubt about it. Those are, you know, I think you need at least two of those three for sure. And if you get all three, I think it's great. Moving on here, Rose9 says, excited about all the pursuit of Southern recruits outside of Florida, Bolden and Houston, the kid from Birmingham, Alabama. Alabama is great state talent. Love to see it. Yeah, Ohio State's going to go where the talent is. And look, it looked for a while like this class was shaping up to be very Ohio-focused. And, you know, that still has been the case. Seven of the players are from Ohio, but now you have two from Florida, two from Indiana, two from Texas, one from Georgia, one from New Jersey, one from Tennessee. A lot of the guys that I read out names of earlier that they're in the mix for, and that's just on the defensive side of the ball, are out-of-state guys. So Ohio State's going to go where the talent is and do their best to land those guys. Robert Seale said again, also both Scott and Bolden, can't miss on those guys. Aaron Scott for sure. I mean, you can't let a guy that talented go somewhere else when you're the biggest school in the state. Bolden is a guy who, you know, everyone is recruiting basically. So it's, you know, it's going to be more tough on that. Brutus B. Buckeye said, hi, Pat, I got a question. If there was one thing stopping Ohio State from winning a national championship this year, what do you think it would be? I've said a few times, and I think you can have different opinions and not be wrong on this, but for me, it's if this offensive line doesn't get good fast. The issues up front could take what could be a historically good offense and make it significantly worse, make it pedestrian. If you can't block, what are you supposed to do? And I just, you know, I need to see it. I've said it before. I need to see it from these offensive linemen. I mentioned Carson Hinsman as one of my potential breakout guys. I liked what I saw from him, but the tackle positions, I feel much more comfortable. Now, I do like Josh Simmons, but I'd feel much more comfortable if Ohio State had landed one of the targets they had before the spring, A, because I think those are the guys they kind of prioritized, though I do know that they do like Josh Simmons, a guy who Justin Fry recruited and he was at UCLA. So, you know, it may all work out great, but I'd feel more comfortable about that, A, because I think those are the guys they prioritized, and B, we would have seen them. They would have been here for spring, and I think that would have been a big help to have another tackle in the mix with the guys they had at those positions and kind of getting ready as opposed to just doing it now. And then last one, D.A. Buckeye, stop with the upside BS. Whenever that term is used, the player is almost always trash. I don't know if that's true. I think there was a lot of upside talk about, you know, I can think of a lot of guys, frankly. You know, Mayan Williams was a guy with upside. He's been pretty good. Guy who's been in the news for unfortunate reasons recently, but Darren Lee, a lot of upside, and they figured out a way to make him good. So, but I get what you're saying. You want guys that you know can come in, or you feel very confident you can come in and make an impact. And you know, you don't. I'm fine with Ohio State getting some of those guys and working to find a way to develop them, things like that. But you're right. You do need the 4 or 5 star guys that are almost certain to be important players for you. And, you know, Ohio State's done a good job of that. Maybe not quite as well as people would have liked. Maybe not quite to the Georgia level on the defensive side of the ball or what Alabama was doing at one point. But, you know, I don't think most teams in the country would trade with what Ohio State does in recruiting. I will just say that. All right, we're going to wrap it up. We've gone just over an hour here. So a full Bucknuts happy hour for you guys there. I want to thank Tim Hall again for coming on and talking about talking with me about our, I guess I should say, potential breakout candidates for the Buckeyes in 2023. I think we put together a pretty good list. If you missed that, this will be available on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, and you can also find it wherever you get your podcasts. Please like, subscribe on the podcast stuff. Subscribe on YouTube. If you're not already, we've had kind of a lull here during the summer with not a ton of content, but all of our podcast stuff goes on there, so you're able to go back and watch any of that. We also post all of our video interviews. Some of our recruiting video interviews we don't necessarily put public because people don't, those aren't the big hitters. But come end of July, we're going to be back at Big Ten Media Days. Then we're rolling right into fall camp. We're going to have a ton of stuff on there from those interviews, so you don't want to miss that. Subscribe that, whatever it is on YouTube. And if you want notifications, hit that little bell button. That'll let you know when we post things. Thank you again for tuning in. This has been another Bucknuts Happy Hour. Next week, hopefully, I will be back to having a beer with you guys because it's been 2 weeks now and I don't know. I'm thirsty. But anyway, I don't have anything to cheers. I finished my water while we were doing this, but cheers to you guys.
I told you imaginary friends are real.
This is just so exciting.
This Friday, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.